Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to give a special shout out to all of those that are viewing on CTN and all of those that are watching on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. It's an honor to join you today where you're watching us either at home, in your living room, or wherever you watch VFN TV. And, of course, all of those that are listening on VFN Radio across the nation and the world. Here to encourage you in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kolaszewski.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Oh, good day?
I'm trying to change it up on you.
All right, change it up.
Keep you on your toes.
Keep me on my toes. We're excited about today's program. Don't forget that we are two programs back-to-back. And you can always find out more at VFNTV.com. We're going to be talking today about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't want to miss it because we fail to recognize and to have that revelation, if you will, that, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes up residence on the inside of you. And God has purposed for you to do so much more. And once we have that revelation and that is growing in us, you'll be amazed at the type of things and the outlook we'll begin to have on life, because we realize that, he's on the inside of me. We're together in this. We're also going to be talking about how robots are being hired to do jobs now across America. It just helps me to think about, maybe we didn't value work the way we should have, because now robots, you got to see this. They're doing the work that some people said they didn't even feel like doing. They didn't want to do anymore. And careful, but it's amazing to see how far technology has come. And we're going to continue to unpack this because I think it says more about our society and more about where things are going unless we change some of our ways. We're also going to be talking about the power of love. If you missed the first program, we're talking about the love of God, but we're going to continue to talk about the power of love and what happens when we encounter God afresh. It's just absolutely amazing. And hopefully we get a chance to talk about what's happening in Hong Kong, because all of that's being led, by the way, the leader of the Hong Kong, all these protests, 30, 40, 50,000 people in the streets. The leader that has emerged is a 17-year-old, according to George Thomas from CBN. Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Parents trained them at a young age, and very interesting story. But we want to talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I think one of the most important revelations that I think oftentimes is overlooked. I mean, we talked about the first one, which I think is the love of God. You can never silk on that enough. But I think the other one is that, as a believer, when we receive Jesus into our lives, God comes to live on the inside of us. I mean, he takes residence through the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives. And that's an amazing thing. But yet we continue sometimes to live life without that revelation, that understanding. And Paul said it like this in Colossians 1, 27. He said, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." What's the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of glory revealed. And I think what's encouraging about this is that when the church truly awakens to the fullness of this revelation, we're going to see the church do some really amazing, great exploits. I mean, we really are. Daniel says that those who know their God will do great exploits. And, and I'm not talking about the church, a building. The building's not going to do exploits. I'm talking about the people of God. When we come together and get this. And I think that a lot of times, one of the reasons that we don't see it happening is because a lot of things, I think, are done sometimes maybe in the arm of the flesh. I mean, it's just like we have maybe good ideas, but we're missing a God idea. It didn't originate in the heart of God. And I think that we're living in a day and age that we don't need any more good ideas. We need God ideas. We need those that originate not in the mind of man, but thoughts that originate in the mind of God and that God reveals to us so that we can walk them out on the face of the earth, that he has entrusted to us. And when we grasp this, we have the ability to choose how to basically release the glory of God in our lives, and we begin to follow the Lord's leadings, the Lord's promptings, what He tells us to do, and what He tells, you know, what He tells us to say and where to go. So in essence, we become God's eyes, we become His hands, we become His feet, His voice, because, you know, He lives on the inside of us. we are His ambassadors on the face of this earth. And, you know, when I pause and think about this, the truth is that God is always speaking. You know, the question is, have we desired enough to pause and to really think about or hear, tune our ears to hear what it is that He is saying? I mean, he's speaking. He speaks all the time. But are we listening? Are we desiring to hear? Mm-hmm. And then when we do hear, are we actually obeying it? Because the worst thing we can do is go from message to message, you know, hearing word upon word, and then we do nothing with what God has already shared with us, what God has already told us, and we just kind of stack another revelation or another teaching on the shelf, but we don't do what God has told us to do. I mean, that's not a good thing. It's really simple. When it breaks down to it is, you know, hear His voice and do what He says.
Right.
You know, hear and obey. And God has a desire to reveal Himself in you, to you, and through you. And what we get to do is we get to partner with God. We get to walk with Him. And I love the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 6:17. He says, "But he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with Him."
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. We have the chance to walk in oneness, to walk in unity with God. And when we walk in oneness and unity with Him, we receive that we have the mind of Christ. And it's no longer about our agenda, but His agenda. When we get back from this break, we're going to begin to kind of just talk about this more, because, you know, there's no such thing as a boring Christian life. Every single day is a day of adventure, because the Holy Spirit is with us. We're walking Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can begin to be God's eyes, mm-hmm. His ears, His hands, His feet, and we can love people as God empowers us to do that. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
It happens all too often. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. If you're facing frequent conflict with a family member, Ken Sandy is here to suggest reevaluating your approach.
Even in Christian homes, we can have things we want, good things, but we want them too much. Wanting my wife's respect, a wife wanting husband's time to be with the kids, but if we raise them up to the level they become demands, then we begin to expect it. And if they don't give it to us, then we move to, I judge, you're doing something wrong. And finally, when that progression goes on, to, I punish. I'm going to punish you. I'll be cold. I'll be distant. I'll just go and spend time with my buddies.
Well, that is a cold place. And when your simple request turns into a demand, anger isn't far behind. So be aware of that and then stop the outburst by refocusing your thoughts through prayer. You'll find more trusted relationship advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
It is amazing how this is all working.
It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you are a Christian, a believer, Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And he desires, right, for us for him to reveal himself in us, to us, and through us to others. And I think about this scripture really just blows me away, because the verse before that says, he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her. But then the very next verse says, but he who unites himself with God is one spirit with him. And to think that if a physical union can cause oneness, imagine what the spiritual union, what the oneness that a spiritual union can produce. Mm-hmm. And that's what God has called us to be. He's called us to be one with him. What an amazing privilege that God, and we talked about this in a previous program, the creator ties himself to the creation. I mean, normally someone that creates something, there's such a large chasm between, obviously, the person that is talented and gifted to create something with the actual creation. The creation points to the creator, but it's just this huge chasm. When you think about God, he ties himself to his creation. He ties himself to us. He's bound by love. Mm-hmm. And then he takes up residence on the inside of man for those who receive him.
You know, I think about what you're saying as far as, you know, God takes up residence. And so often it's like we just skip over that. We're like, all right, yep, God is in me. Yes, God is in us. And it's just like, you know, I've heard it said before. It's like when you really just kind of take a moment to think about that and you think about the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you think about Revelations 4 and the bigness of God and just the splendor and the awesomeness and just, you know, he's indescribable how awesome he is, and he's in you.
Right.
And your body doesn't explode.
Right.
You know, and it's just like how God has made our bodies to be able to inhabit, or he inhabits us, and it's like we're able to house that. And it's just like, and how masterful God created us. It's like, really take the time to think about that, that you're walking with God.
Yeah. And really the amazing thing for the believer, what should cause us to realize, man, this is the most amazing life that we could ever live right now on earth. I mean, heaven's going to be amazing, right? But right now, this is the life that we have, is that we can walk in oneness, in union, and that we could actually exchange our thoughts, our plans for, I don't know, God's thoughts, God's plans. It's like we're not our own. Every day is an adventure, because every day we can tune ourselves to the union that we have with him and say, God, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to do this? What do you want to do? We have a greater purpose in life. And Paul calls this a mystery. And, you know, we shared this on a previous program about Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets shared a word called seeds for becoming who you are. And I thought about this as I was, you know, preparing. And I thought about, you know, he underscores that, he says oftentimes that when we hear teachings about a certain revelation or experience in God that someone's had, we're hearing the fruit of what they experienced. That's the fruit of it. But we receive it in a seed form. And so sometimes we're frustrated with, well, how come I'm still struggling with this, or I don't have this revelation yet, or I'm not? Because although someone is sharing it from a fruit standpoint, they've got it. You're getting it as a seed form, and that seed form has to be cultivated so that you can begin to actually have that fruit in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, oftentimes what we're getting is a seed form of understanding Christ in us. And the more that we meditate and ask God to reveal that to us and grow in that, that becomes the fruit of our life. Because when we walk in this, you know, like for instance, we have heard it said for quite a while now, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when I think about what would Jesus do, I think about a Jesus in past tense. I think about, okay, what did Jesus do in the Bible, right? What did he do then? As if Jesus is not doing something today.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think of, instead of what would Jesus do, I like to think of what will you, what will I allow Jesus to do today?
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to act, he wants to touch, he wants to minister to people every day. And so, you know, when we abide, do we, you know, close up our Bible, put it down in the morning, get off to work and, you know, leave Jesus there? Do you bring the Lord with you? Do you go along with him and live life and say, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do? And I think that that's oftentimes, if we don't have an awareness that there's a oneness there, there's desire for unity, for us to be united with him, it's not even going to cross our mind that he actually wants to say something to the lady at the checkout stand. It's not even going to cross our mind that as we're pulling out and we see our neighbor, that maybe God may want to encourage that our neighbor in some way. Doesn't that, why? Because we have the things of man in our mind, not the things of God. And when we walk around with a God consciousness, because we're, you know, if you don't have a God consciousness, what you have is a self-consciousness. And that's the thing you battle with. It's constantly, you are always on your mind. And let me tell you something. What's very liberating from you always being on your mind is to put God on your mind. Now, Isaiah says he will keep in perfect peace his mind, the guy who puts his mind steadfast on God. Put your mind and your focus on the Lord. You know, oftentimes people pray and they ask what, you know, is on their heart. But do we ever commune with God and talk to him about, God, what is on your heart today? What is on in your heart? Because God has real emotions. He has real feelings. What's on in your heart? And listen. And we'll begin to see that, you know what? God, people are always on his heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's 7 billion people on the face of this world. And believe it or not, there's someone out there today that's probably going through a more difficult situation than you are. There's someone that's probably suffering more, who is going through a tremendous trial, or is totally away from God and they need to know him. And since God is love and he loves everybody and he wishes that none would perish, and if we're a believer, right, you know Jesus Christ, you are his ambassador, his representation to others, I think he wants to use us, right? He doesn't have a plan B.
Right. That's true.
Right? We're supposed to be united with him. We're supposed to do this together. And I think about, wow, what an awesome privilege that we get to be united with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just simply the fact of just, you know, that really wrecks your thought when you're thinking the fact that God doesn't have a plan B. It's like, this is it.
We are the plan.
We are it. You know, and I think about it, you know, it's before what you're saying is just like when Jesus walked with his disciples after 3 years, that thought of just saying, all right, you guys got it. And it's just like, God entrust us, knowing the fact that if we'll entrust ourselves to him, if we'll walk in that oneness and we'll trust the Holy Spirit, and it's just like the amazing things that we can do if we can just say, okay, God, let's do this. I think about the movie that we had talked about before, The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the specific actor or actress or music artist, but she says a profound quote, and I'll have this related, but she says, what if we as the church said, okay, God, no more rules, no more boxes, no more limitations. Let's just do this. And she says, it's scary. Yeah, it is. What might happen? But I truly believe that's how we were designed to be. Imagine if we just said, okay, God, let's do this. No limitations. No more mental, well, I don't know how. Just say, God said it. Let's do it.
Yeah. You hear all these challenges that people do on social media now. You have this challenge and that. Here's a challenge for you. Here's a challenge. You ready for a challenge? Here's a challenge. Don't think about yourself for 24 hours. Not one time. And just think about God. Think about what's on his heart. Just God. 24 hours. And ask him, God, what are you saying? What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be amazed at the adventure. This is the most exciting life you could possibly live if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every day, think about it, every day is an amazing adventure. Mm-hmm. Every day. Who's going to love them?
Mm-hmm.
We get a chance to have compassion, like he's had compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to see people with his eyes, not with our eyes. And if you look at people with your eyes, what are you going to do? You're going to judge them.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to criticize them. Why? But if we look at them with the eyes of Christ, right? If we really truly see their condition and see their behavior, look past people's behavior and look at maybe the why of what they're doing. And allow God to move with his compassion, to give you compassion. Believe me, you'll start reaching out, and it's the most fulfilling thing that you'll ever do, because you'll start realizing that, my goodness, God is into this. God is into people, and he's into, you know, us moving and partnering with him. And so, you know, life no longer becomes about us. It becomes about, you know, me and the Father, me and God.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Jesus found the satisfaction. Listen, Jesus' own life was always about being one with the Father. He lived to please the Father. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't do anything that he didn't see his Father doing. And in John 17, this is what he says his prayer is. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Because we talk about, well, how does that oneness look like? Look at the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. There was no doubt that they were not one. He was completely united with the Father. And he goes on to, the scriptures go on to say, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me. And may they be brought into complete unity. I and them, and you and me, and us together with God. My goodness, how amazing is that?
You know, I'm thinking about that, and it's just like, when you talk about that, and it's just like, if I'm not mistaken, I have that specific scripture. He's basically, it's like the braids of love. Jesus is in God. God's in Jesus. And we're in them.
Yeah.
And that's his desire. And you think about it, and it's just like that weaving of just like that constant back and forth. It's just like, God, you're in me. I'm with you. And my desire is they would be in us as we're together. And it's just like that braiding of love just coming together constant. Yeah. And it's just like, that's that desire that God wants for us. It's like every day, you know, it's just like, I think about that, and it's like how a baker kneads dough together. And it's just like, we're becoming more and more like him,
yeah,
like Christ,
wow,
like the Father.
Yeah. And a cord of three strands is not easily broken.
Yes.
And so it's a cord, it's a rope that's tight, because we're interwoven together with the heart of God.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. The highest purpose for man, because people are always looking for their purpose in life, you know, what am I supposed to do with my life, and listen, your highest purpose is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And when you connect God, when you have that revelation, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then everything that you do becomes a fragrant offering to him, because you start realizing, man, this is not about me. This is not about what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. This is not about life. This is not, you know. And at a certain point, hopefully you start thinking about, like, how many vacations do I really need? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many to really start? Because, I mean, we all have had the experience. You know, the car is only new for the first week. I mean, that's it. Yeah. I mean, the new smell goes away immediately.
And then you're looking for the next one.
Yeah, but then you have a payment. So then, hey, you know what I mean? But you know, it only lasts for a brief moment, and then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everything else. We were meant to live so much beyond that, and to walk in the fullness of walking with his heart and walking with his mind, and to be interwoven with his ways, and to see what are the deepest things on his heart. And I have found, you know, in my experiences, that the deepest things of God's heart, the things that are on his heart, are people. It's all the time is his heart for people. And to know that we can partner with him, that we can be one, mm-hmm. and that we can touch people on his behalf, that he can move through us to reach people. It's just totally amazing. I want to encourage you today that if you're a believer and you just heard this maybe for the first time, or this has reminded you, you have a greater purpose in life, that you don't, maybe you thought that maybe, oh, my life is meaningless because maybe I'm not a preacher, or, you know, I'm not a missionary, or maybe I'm not a Bible translator. But, you know, I'm just whatever. No, listen, you're a son, you're a daughter of God, and that every day God has you strategically at that place of employment, at that school, at that neighborhood, in that local community. Why? So that you can be his representation, so that you and him, you guys can be united, and that he can flow through you. You have a wonderful purpose. You're an ambassador of God. And I want to encourage you today, raise your level of thinking and believing and living, because life is but a vapor. Listen, once it's all over with, we're going to go back and say, oh man, should I have done that? What, missed opportunity here, missed opportunity there. You could avoid tomorrow's regrets today by keeping your mind focused on him and truly seeking after the revelation of this oneness with God, and how your life, your one life, can bring him glory. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And here he is in this boarding house, in this rented room. They're crying out to God. Nobody, I mean, rejected to the nth degree. But guess what? When he got the baptism from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, 100 years later, I'm in a town right now that was actually founded during the time that he got filled and was having the Azusa Street Revival. The very town that Ken Summerall got saved in and began his journey all the way to the place that Charles Seymour met the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One man without, 1906, think about technology, because he was baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, look what happened. Paul, one man, because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, look what happened. And the question is, what about you? Your life will impact this earth and mankind for the kingdom of God when you say, God, I want power. Not for my self-edification, to people to lift me up. I want power to be witnesses of you. I want to be a witness of Jesus Christ. I want to go into my workplace and people know if they want prayer, they come to me, because I'm going to pray with authority and power, because my God said, when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. I want people to know if they make a decision, I want to be able to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They'll hunt me up, as I've seen people do. And most of all, I want heaven that I wasn't ashamed.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, talk to us about the power of love.
You know, you may have heard us once or twice. You know, we talk about Jesus from time to time.
Yeah, once or twice.
You know, try to stay focused on that. And I love just reading about, you know, just Jesus's life and everywhere he walked. He just spent time with people. Mm. And, you know, I was reading actually in Luke 8 and how it talks about that he was actually, Jesus was actually in response to a need of a man. There was a man that was just running up to Jesus and telling him that, you know, his daughter was sick. And there were so many crowds around Jesus that they were just pressing around him. And the Bible talks about that a woman in this crowd, she had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And this is in Luke 8. 12 years. And she has this thought. She says, you know, if I could just touch the back of his cloak. Not him, but I could just touch him. And she touches his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stops. Mm. After 12 years. Mm. So Jesus is walking, and it's like, if you imagine, if you've ever been to like a football game, or if you've ever been in a crowd, and it was just like, you just kind of got to wiggle your way through, and there's people touching you all around. Jesus is walking, picture yourself in this, and he stops. And he asks the question, who touched me? And there's other parts of the Bible how it talks about his disciples. They're like, wait, Jesus, we're all touching you. I know you can see how many people. How can you ask who touched you? And he says, no. Somebody touched me because I felt power leave. And he turns around, and the woman, understanding the fact that something's up, she begins to tremble in fear.
Wow.
And you look at that, and so often before when I heard that story, And Jesus, he looks down at her and he says, daughter, you know, your faith has healed you. But when you look at that so often too, it's like you look at that encounter and you're like, wow, 12 years. How do you go 12 years? And the Bible talks about the fact that she had spent all her money on doctors trying to heal this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But so often too, it's like you think about it and it's like she had a flesh wound. She had an outside wound. She was bleeding. But there's so many of us that are bleeding in our heart. And we never connected that we've been walking for 40 years. We've been walking for 20 years. We've been walking for 30 years and never been healed. And the thing is, though, it's one thing that we can be healed by a wound that we can see. We can be all of a sudden realizing the fact that, you know, you can see someone that, you know, had lost an arm or lost a leg. But you don't see those wounds of a heart. You don't see those inner wounds of someone that lost a child, of someone that, you know, it's an endless list. And sometimes those are even more painful. But the thing is, though, is the fact that she touched God. You know, we've been talking about love, and it's just like, how powerful is it for someone's life when we touch God.
Yeah.
When we can reach out in faith and say, I've tried everything. And it's so powerful and so significant how it says that she spent all of her money on doctors. And that's so significant too, because for me, I mean, I tried everything. You name it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's just like, whether it's money, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a promotion, it's relationships, it's things. You're going to spend all your money on the doctors of the world trying to fulfill that wound, never, ever being healed. And you got to get to the end of yourself. You got to get to the end of that moment and just say, I'm just going to press through all of this, and I'm going to reach out in faith and seek to touch Jesus. Mm. Even if I don't touch all of him, if I can just touch a piece of him, I know he'll fix this. I know he'll heal this.
And there's a promise in the Bible. I mean, James tells us that if we draw close to God, mm-hmm. he will draw close to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a promise. That's an encouraging thing to us. So we don't have to wonder like, well, if I reach out, will God? No, the Bible says it. If mm-hmm. we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. Jeremiah says if we seek him with all of our heart, he'll be found by us. That's another promise. So we can move into this thing like you're saying. We can go after God, not shaky or wondering, but with confidence, understanding mm-hmm. that God, the Bible already said it. We draw close to God, mm-hmm. he will draw close to us.
Yeah. You know, and the thing that we have to connect is that God says faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Because you can have wounds that you don't see. So you got to have that faith in knowing the fact that there's healing that you don't see. Mm-hmm. And knowing the fact that we can't please God unless we have faith. So you think about it, and it's just like if we're going to reach out to God and we touch God and there's healing in that, imagine how powerful it is if we can walk with the one who we've touched. Spend time with the one who is healing, like you're saying, who is love. And from there, it's just like when you understand who this is that we're reaching out to, when we understand who this is, that's going to radically change your life. And it says the fact that he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. And you're talking about the fact that it's Christ in us. You know, God has been showing me this. Like, there's areas of my own heart that I don't even realize are still bleeding. And it's not like you touch Jesus. It's just like, well, life's perfect now. I'm healed completely. There's areas that it's just like God is so gentle. It's like, imagine, you know, have you ever seen kittens? Like, kittens love not like little balls of yarn. Yeah. And like there's a knot. God is so gentle. It's like there's knots of wounds in our hearts that he'll slowly just begin to undo in our own hearts, even in those areas that we're not ready for him to work on. And it's like there's a healing power in God that he seeks to just truly work all those things out. Mm-hmm. And it's like if that first touch was so powerful after 30 years, after 40 years, imagine what he's going to do in your life when you walk with him every day. And you spend time with him and seek to touch him every single day of your life. Mm. And it's like there is a healing power in the love of God. And there's so many discussions about healing and what have you. But the true healer is Jesus. One of his names is the Great Physician. And he wants to heal you right now. And it's just like, you know, if you've got pain in your heart and if your heart's just crying out and just broken, you know, reach out to God.
Yeah.
And that's why you hear us talking about an abiding lifestyle, I abide, because imagine to spend time and know the voice of Jesus when he speaks to you every single day. And even more powerfully, you know, something that he showed me, it's like, imagine somebody has to have an open heart surgery, but they're not sedated. They're not at rest. They're kind of squirming. They're kind of moving around. Yeah. The one that has the scalpel, he knows that he's going to do more damage. If the one that has the scalpel has a good purpose, he has good things in mind, but he knows that they're just not ready.
Right.
They need to be at rest. They need to be prepared. And it's just like when we go to the Lord, when we have rest and trust in him and that faith that his touch is going to heal our hearts, allow him to just heal those wounds. Allow him to heal those things in our heart that have never been healed before. And I just want to encourage you right now that I just feel that there's so many listeners, there's somebody that's paying attention right now that you've tried everything. 12 years, 20 years, 50 years, and you've never been healed. And there is a healing power in the love of Jesus Christ that he so seeks to touch that area of your heart that's been bleeding. Mm. And I want to encourage you to reach out to Jesus right now and know that he has a love for you that you have not encountered. anywhere else.
It's amazing because, you know, that's the whole thing. We're like all damaged goods outside of God, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's his love. He's the one that puts us together again. You know, Humpty Dumpty couldn't be put back together again, but God can put us back together again. We're broken, fragmented pieces. And you're right. Oftentimes the outer stuff gets looked at, but we don't, you know, the inner wounds are hidden. They're tucked away. And we're not sometimes able to discern that maybe someone that's, you know, the way they're acting in their life, we look at their poor behavior, but we don't realize that attached to that poor behavior, what's behind all that is an inner hurt, is an inner pain. And a lot of people do a lot of different things to medicate that pain. And they go to different places and seek relief in people and all kinds of stuff. And the truth of the matter is that the only person that could heal you is God. He's the only person that could heal you. And if you don't know him, you can give your life to him. You can give your life to Jesus, and he will begin to change you from the inside out. You know, God's not into changing you from the outside in, because the outside's irrelevant. He wants to start at the epicenter of who you are, and at the core of who you are, in your heart. He wants to touch you in your heart, in your emotions. He wants to save your soul, and so that you can live with him forever. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are hurting. And I'm just reminded of the scripture in Romans, where the Bible says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And no matter what trouble you're facing today, Jesus says, cheer up. You know, tribulations and trials and troubles will come, but cheer up, because I've overcome the world. You can be an overcomer in God, but it all starts with you being in God. And so we want to encourage you today. Listen, God wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to redeem you. It's not over. You may have thought it was over, and this looks pretty bad today. And this is, you may be at ground zero, and maybe you're even sinking down into basement levels of despair. But understand that God's arm is not too short to reach out to you, and his ears are not too dull to hear your cry. Look up. Cry out to Jesus and watch him reach out to you. You take the first step. Your first step determines God's next step. You take the first step right where you're at. Cry out to Jesus and watch him reach out to you. When we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you. So when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy. $50
I Guy. I mean, when the dentist, your dentist trains you up to be able to you know, how to brush your teeth. You know, this is the way we brush our teeth, right, you know, right? And so, and they tell you over and over again, they say, you know, you need to use a real soft
brush,
soft toothbrush, you know. And I was always the one that's like, get me, you know, a wire bristle thing. We'll get this thing cleaned up, you know, or whatever. And, you know, a couple of sweeps and it's, oh, just thinking about it, my teeth hurt. And so they're always, you know, telling you, you know, that you got to be very careful how you brush your teeth. And they did, you know, obviously, I guess they don't tell us now because they think we got to figure it out by this time of our life. You know, one guy tells me, you know, I take real good care of my teeth. I put them in a glass every night. And so, you know, with that, you know, I had a chance to go to the dentist, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to the dentist, the very ones that tell us that we're supposed to use soft, you know, toothbrushes that sometimes are so, it's like, really?
You know, can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
Yeah.
You know, and then,
She leans into my mouth with like metal tools and starts poking at my teeth, scraping, poking. I'm like, this is metal. I have never used metal in my mouth. And you're telling me that you're going to use metal against my tooth and I couldn't use a hard toothbrush. What is this? You know?
Right. Right.
And, it's just like, oh my goodness. You know, if we had tools like that, and so I found out, you know, obviously, you know, that they're wanting, us to come back so they can take that off instead of us, mm-hmm. so we can actually pay them.
Right, right.
Everybody needs work, right? Even your dentist. But I can't believe it. Metal tools, man.
That's yeah.
Something. Oh, totally something.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. You know, there's a lot of talk today about folks trying to find jobs and employment and finding careers, but new technology is absolutely amazing. As technology is advancing, we see so many things that we're able to do today with one device that, you know, your iPhone, your phone replaces so many devices that you used to have to carry. I mean, it's not just your phone, it's your camera, it's your GPS, it's your planner. I mean, it's your voice recorder. I mean, you can make so many.
Computer.
It's your computer. I mean, yeah.
It can be your level.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it can be your level.
Tape measure.
Flashlight.
Look at that. All, your alarm clock. I mean, come on. It can be everything.
For some, anyway.
Yeah.
The second or third Chris, alarm clock, I mean, that's needed.
Does Chris have a mic? No, he doesn't have a mic. We won't go there on that one. But but here's the thing. Technology has advanced in such a way that it replaces not only other devices, yeah. but now we're finding that technology is replacing actual people because instead of people being hired, robots are being hired to do work. And it's just absolutely amazing when I see this because I look at this and I say, look, you know, what has happened where, you know, we're not losing jobs anymore. People used to complain. I don't hear this complaint anymore, but it may still be happening. I'm just not hearing it as often as I used to hear it. But I used to hear that people would complain that they were losing their jobs in America to immigrants that were coming over. And then I would hear people say, well, you know, and they don't speak any English and they don't speak things. And, you know, and I would sit back and think, well, like, well, wow, how bad was your interview that you didn't get a job to a person who didn't even speak English? I mean, it's like, come on. People are not losing their jobs because of other people. They're losing jobs because people don't want to do some of the labor that's there. And when you think about it, there's opportunity. I mean, throughout all of history, you'll see that where there's a will, there's a way, and people get, you know, a lot of businesses start actually during tough economic times because people start really getting inventive and they start taking things to the market and they start saying, well, maybe I can sell this, and they get really, you know, going in that type of, you know, direction. But I want you to see what's happening with these robots because that loss of excitement, I guess, is not there anymore. And we're going to talk more about what could this possibly mean for the future. Watch this as robots do some work.
Today, robots are increasingly being used both at home and in the workforce to help humans.
Here's a look at their resume. They make few mistakes, never get tired, and have recently become much more interactive. Here's Caitlin Burke with a story.
An Alabama plant nursery is getting attention for its new army of engineered workers.
We've had a lot of people say from the highway they could see little aliens running around on flower wood.
They're actually robots, carrying plants up and down the rows of the nursery.
As it goes across the front of the pots, he's seeing each one of them. Once he comes to an empty hole, that's where he drops the plant.
The robots haven't replaced human workers at the nursery. Olinger says instead they're able to do the mindless work, spacing plants in the summer and bunching them in the winter.
We've taught them more and more skills, and we've moved them to where they're needed.
And that frees up humans to work on better jobs. The robots are still worth the $30,000 spent on them. They work in less than desirable conditions, can do double shifts, and don't require any breaks.
You can drop right out of here at lunchtime. Everybody's gone and the robots are still running.
Robot technology is being used in the classroom as well. This robot carries an iPad, allowing a master teacher to interact with students remotely. 10-year-old Simon is working on his reading and comprehension skills this summer. The robot allows teacher Jody Giles to monitor his progress.
He'll tell us, help me out, and he will guide me and interact with me, and it's no different than when working with him in person.
Giles says that thanks to the new technology, she's able to interact with 10 to 12 students per day for about 20 to 30 minutes each, no matter where they're located.
We're reducing cost in travel and in time. So it's been a beneficial investment, not just in terms of financially, but also in terms of the time.
Despite all the benefits, there are still a few things that need to be worked out.
I like to help it because mostly sometimes it mostly crashes on the wall.
Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing. Robots moving these plants. And the thing about, listen, they don't show up late. They don't complain. They work long hours. They work in all sorts of conditions. And it's like, man, are we going to be losing our employment to robots because we didn't value work at all? And I think about, you know, where we need to get back to, just a conversation, if you will, just on the importance and the value of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just survey and speak with people and have the opportunity to have dialogue. I realize that today, especially with the young people, they're not wanting to do a lot of things that I know older generations felt like, hey, they needed to do to take care of their family. There was a time where, you know, any job, work, employment was something that was viewed upon as honorable, something that was great. Hey, you're doing something with your life. And today I find that when I just talk to people in general, it's not that work is honorable. They try to measure the type of work and say which job is more honorable than the other, and because this particular job doesn't have I guess a good status in other people's eyes, they would imagine they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do it. Even if it paid them more, they still don't want to do it because they identify so much with, you know, a job, if you will. But then again, I don't see people doing the type of things they need to do to get the skill sets and the knowledge and the resources. And I think that, you know, what's happened, I think that we need to really talk about that. One of the things about the Puritans is that they saw work as, you know, a gift from God. You know, they saw how they can worship God through their work. And I think that we need to bring that back again, as we're teaching young people that all that you do, if you're in school, if you're doing work, if you're sweeping the kitchen, do it all to the glory of God. Don't just do something just for the sake of doing it, but raise the elevation of that job. I remember a book that was put out, I think by the name of Mark Sanborn. It was called The Fred Factor. And the thing about the Fred Factor was, this is this man who delivered mail, and he thought he had a mindless job. People thought that he had a mindless job, but he says, no, I have the greatest job in the world. And the whole principle behind the Fred Factor is that oftentimes people are looking for employment to validate them instead of who they are validating the employment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you making the employment. And so, like someone in New York, they would say, you know, well, I'm, you know, are you just a street sweeper? But if you understood the Fred Factor, you would say, I am going to be the best street sweeper, not just in New York, but in the entire country. And I'm going to do my job so well and so efficient and so perfect that to the glory of God, they're going to make manuals. I'm going to have the ability to train others and train cities and how they can be. So they're going to redefine this position. I just elevated that position because of what God has gifted me through talents, you know, work ethic, resources, skill sets. I'm going to add value to it. I'm going to raise the level of this employment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a totally different mindset. And I think that if we start to embrace the Fred Factor, if you will, if we start in embracing that we can add value to whatever we're doing and that we're going to do it with excellence unto the Lord, I think we're going to see a huge return on that.
Yeah, I remember hearing a story about it. The a company that did an assessment on a whole, you know, major corporation, and they interviewed everybody throughout the list, executives, people, and everyone felt unfulfilled and they were complaining and ungrateful. But there was one person that they interviewed, and he was the happiest person in the whole corporation. And he was the janitor. And it was the janitor that had a plan. He had a vision that he understood where he was, but he saw himself understanding different parts of the company and growing up and being promoted and wherever. But he understood that he had to get the foundation and understand it from the beginning. And it's like, if you don't understand that wherever you are, it doesn't matter where you get to, you're going to be looking for more.
That's right. Listen, you can enjoy where you're at today, but understanding that, you know what? I'm not looking for my job to define me. I'm going to define my job. I'm going to do it all to the glory of God today, and I'm going to do it with excellence. Mm-hmm. And as you do that on any given day, you're going to see that God's just going to reward you. He's going to bless you because you're not working for a horizontal perspective or working for man, if you will. You understand that you're working for God, yet your employment is to God alone. So I encourage you today, put your eyes on Jesus and work with everything you have unto the glory of God. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Take some time to go to Israel. Take some time to go to Israel. And of course, what most people are going to say, well, I don't have time. I mean, I don't have, you know, things are tight. Okay, I'm already prepared for that. Find out what it would cost you to go to Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, what the plane tickets would cost you, what your passports would cost you, what the hotels would cost you, what the food would cost you, what the tour buses would cost you, and come up with that figure right there and say, okay. And then take that money and spend it in Israel. From right where you are, right there in Arizona, go online and begin to just explore Israel, and, you know, and go to the Galilean Experience there in Eric's store and just buy something online from his store, and then go up and think about, hey, you know, I'm going to give some money to Dugid there in Tel Aviv, to Avi's ministry up there, or, you know, I'm going to purchase these DVDs, not from America, spend it in Israel. And think about this. That it's just like, it's actually better for them because they didn't have to tolerate us over there. But, you know, you can get so many different things there. Get you some prayer cloths, get you some pictures of the city, you know, virtual tours, all kinds of things that you can do. But just spend, I mean, if you don't have that whole amount, spend a tenth of it there at least. I mean, if you don't have the whole money, what it costs you, say, I'm going to take 10%. Of what it would cost me to go there because I don't have the money right now. I'm going to spend that in Israel and make sure that it's Israel. But understand how significant that would be for them, for their economy. I mean, it's already booming already. I mean, John Kerry, your Secretary of State, says, you're saying right now, because you have these walls that are working, you have an economy that's doing good. It's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But just that's a way to bless Israel. Do business in Israel. That's and a lot of equipment that we have in our studios and all comes from the Jewish people, and just spend your money in Israel. Just take the, okay, you can't fly there, fine. But you can spend there. With today's internet capabilities, you can pull up and start with the Galilean Experience right there with Eric. Go up to the northern borders. Spend some funds up there. I can't think of some stores that are up there. Buy some different things. Just spend some money in Israel. What a way to bless Israel, to be able to do business in Israel right there. It's just exciting to think about. Man, what a way to do that. I can't fly there right now. Maybe you can't get away right now, but you can spend money there. You can do it virtually. Let's visit Israel.